我今见闻得受持，愿解如来真实义 The unsurpassed, profound and sublime Dharma is difficult to encounter even in a billion aeons. Today we see, hear, receive and uphold it, vowing to fathom the true meaning of the Tathagata. Okay. So the last word is Tathagata. So we are going to talk about the Sutra of Tathagata Gabbara today. Okay, let me start. Have you heard about this sutra before? 有没有听过这本经《如来藏经》？ OK， 师父 has a book, The Treasure Within. 师父的这本书《自家宝藏》就是在写这部经。So this is 师父's commentary about this sutra, but unfortunately, there is no English translation.For this book. So I choose this book. One reason is because there is no English translation. The other is it's the sutras that belongs to the school of Tathagata Gabbara is very important for Chan school, the Zen school, and for Chinese Buddhism. 那我会选这本经的一个原因哈，其中一个当然是因为它没有英文翻译本，好，所以在西方这边需要再讲解这一本书。那另外一个很重要的原因是如来藏经呢是在是对我们禅修禅宗是非常重要的一部经典，它在如来藏系列里面也是最早的一部经。Because there are manyterminology and that we have sort of different translation, so I choose to have the PowerPoint so that we know that what is the term in Chinese and in English. If the translation is not that good, please correct me or you can give your advice. 那我这次呢会用这个 PowerPoint 的原因呢，就是因为这个在讲如来藏系列的时候呢，它有很多的名相，好，那这些名相呢，因为不同的翻译本呢有不同的英文翻译，那我只能选择一个我觉得最接近的哈，那但是不见得很正确能够表达中文的意思，所以我写出来之后，假设大家觉得这个英文翻译不是很贴切的话，都可以提出来哈。Okay, so the title is The Treasure Within. I focus on the wisdom for everyday life from the Tathagata Gabbara Sutra. 那我定的题目呢就是师父的自家宝藏，那比较专注在这个如来藏经给我们的一个生活智慧哈，不是很偏重在一个各派的一种比较。Okay. This is a very famous story in Chinese Buddhism. It's back to魏晋南北朝 okay, it's earlier than the Qing and Han dynasty, so it's very early stage of Chinese history that it's only in the beginning of the Buddhism start to transmit to China, and so there are only few sutra are translated, and very famous team is one is Wow, 玄奘 master. The other is Jomolosa, a very famous translator from India. And back to that time, there is a master called Dao Sheng. He is one of the famous disciple of the translator team. when he translated some sutra, he found out that there is a concept that he has strong belief in. That is, first, he thinks that everyone has Buddha nature. And second, everyone can get awakening, a sudden awakening, and realize the Buddha nature. And back to that time, it cannot accept for the majority of the Buddhist society. Even some master, they cannot accept this concept. So people think that he is outer path practitioner, not orthodox Buddhist. And so the Buddhist community start to against him and prevent people to listen to his Dharma talk, even though he is very good at giving a Dharma talk and give commentary for the sutra. And so he start to give the Dharma talk to a lot of stone. Okay, this is the real stone. So he think about and he swear, if I am wrong and I will die and go to the hell forever, and if I'm wrong, please give me the hint so that the stone, not the head. The stone, the audience are stone, the stone not the head. And the people saw it and start to tell everyone, you know, the stone, listen to the Dharma talk and not the head. And a couple dozen years later, when a sutra called Mahaparinirvana Sutra transmitted to China, people translated and they found out that the concept is real, and the Buddha teach this concept, and they start to praise this master. 那一开头呢，我想跟大家分享一个道生大师的一个故事哈，它是一个很有名的故事哈。那就是在魏晋南北朝那时候呢，汉传佛教哈才刚开始，只有几部经典翻译出来。那道生大师呢，他是鸠摩罗什在翻译的组里面的一个很有四大弟子之一哈。那他在翻译这些经典的过程中，他从几本经的经典里面呢，他得到一个很大的一个观念。他认为呢，一切众生皆有佛性，而且众生可以顿悟成佛。好，那在当时有限的经典里面呢，佛教就引起佛教界的一阵哗然，大家觉得说怎么可能。好，那连很多的祖师大德都不接受这样的一个说法，那开始觉得说道生大师讲的这个是一个邪说，好，他不是一个好的老师，所以整个教界开始抵制他，不要让大众去听他讲经。最后呢，他就对谁讲经？就对这个石头。这个是真的呢，这在大陆哈，有，这真的是就是当时点头的石头哎。然后呢，他们就把它变成一个景点了哈。然后这个点头这个哈，还是古德刻的哈，不是我们后代的人刻的哈。啊，我要去查一下。I think it's in the North Province, 应该 near Beijing or somewhere. You can check it out. 然后呢，他就只好对着石头说法，讲经哈。那其实他是非常会讲经的哈，结果被教界抵制。他就对着石头说法，然后他对天发誓，他说：假设我讲的经是错的哈，我讲的观念是错的，我就下地狱永远不出来。假设呢，我讲的是对的哈，就是请你们给我一个暗示哈。结果呢，旁边的石头每个都在点头，真的是点头。然后旁边就有人看到说，居然他讲经讲到石头点头啊，就开始一传十，十传百。那后来过了几年之后呢，那个《大波涅槃经》哈传到 中国。那大波涅盘经是一个如来藏经非常重要的一部经典，是佛陀入灭的时候讲的。大波涅盘经翻译出来之后，里面就讲到这个一切众生皆有佛性的这个观念。这时候大家才觉得说啊，原来道生禅师真的是一个了不起的修行人，所以就这个典故呢，就大家就知道说是叫做深功说法，道生大师嘛，深功说法顽石都会点头。 So this story is the initial start for a Chinese Buddhism to accept the concept of so-called Tathagatagarbha. Okay, 所以它就是一个对如来藏的一个起始。So before I start to talk about Tathagatagarbha, I need to briefly introduce the so-called Mahayana Buddhism. There are three categories. Okay.The first category is called Mahadhyamaka, and sometimes we call it Middle Way. And the most famous the master is Nagarjuna and Aryadeva. Anyway, my pronunciation is bad. The second category is Yogacara or consciousness only school, and theMost famous master is Vasubandhu, Bando, and Asawaps. Anyway, his brother, half-breed brother. Okay, and the third category is Tathagatagarbha. And among these three, in India, the most famous two and the mainstream two school is the first two.And at that, back in India, the school of Tathagatagarbha is not that emphasized by the scholars and practitioners. 那在我要讲如来藏之前呢，我要跟大家分享说，在大乘佛教里面有三大系哈。那第一个呢是中观系，中观派的哈。那比较著名的一个大师呢是龙树菩萨跟提婆大师。那第二个呢是瑜伽，就是我们讲的唯识派，那比较有名的是世亲跟无着，是他的弟弟。那如来藏是另外一个，那他并没有一个特别的大师，原因是在印度的时候呢比较被重视的是中观跟瑜伽是两大主流，那时候呢如来藏并不是非常重视。 Of course the reason that they did not emphasize this Tathagatagarbha, one of the reason in the history is that it's very close to one of the concept in India, Atma, yet it's not really Atma, and it's a very long debate. I'm not going to talk about it today. 那在如来藏为什么不被受重视的原因，因为它的理论在历史的发展演变过程中，它非常接近了那个印度教的善我。好，那之后呢演变了一连串的这个争议哈。那包括印顺导师也曾经提出来说，如来藏非佛说的这样的一个说，非原始佛教的一个说法。那我今天的主要呢并没有要再解释这个他们之间的历史过程跟一些争议那我主要是想要介绍如来藏。 OK, so Madhyamaka, the middle way, the focus of the teaching is I summarize by Nagarjuna wrote is, whatever is dependently called arisen, that is explained to be emptiness, that being a dependent designation is itself the middle way. So what it emphasizes is this concept tell people that whatever the worldly phenomena are empty, and yet this emptiness is also not the true way. So it sort of break the extreme, the existent and non-existent. It's not, and it's not in the middle either. So it's not attached to existent or not attached to non-existent. So we call it middle way. 那中观呢？的论述呢？那当然在应顺导师里面归类是叫做性空为名。好，所以大家知道说他比较强调性空的部分。那比较有名，龙树菩萨最有名的一个偈子哈，叫做因缘所生法，我说即是空，亦为是假名，亦是中道义。意思是说，所有世间的一切现象都是因缘所生的，好，这些因缘所生法都不是真的，它是空的，空性的。好，那即便是空性的呢，还是一个假名。好，假名是空性，它不是空无。所以呢，就要破除有跟无的执着。那中道呢，就是说破除有跟无，但是也不会说卡在中间，哈，它就是不要执着有，或是不要执着无的一个中道行。OK, the second school is called Yogacara or consciousness only. So this school is founded.On the existential truth of the human condition. So there is nothing that humans experience that is not meditated by mind. So from this interpretation, this school categorizes all the mind phenomena into eight consciousness. And so there are many sutras and sastras explain this so-called eight consciousness, and I'm not going to talk about it today either. 那第二类呢，叫做瑜伽哈，叫做唯识，好，唯识中，那应顺导师把它归类是叫做虚妄唯识，好，那它是借由瑜伽行者，就是说这一些高阶的那个。瑜伽哈，就是打坐的这些修行人呢，他在打坐入深定的过程中，他发现了很多不同的新的状态，所以他把这些新的状态呢，都归类是一种识，好，心识，好，所以这个瑜伽学派的人，就是把所有一切的身心现象，都可以把它归类成用八识来说明，也就是说我们人的一切的一些觉受身心体验，通通可以用八识来解释。那我当然今天也主题不是要讨论唯识哈。So the third category is called Hatagada Gabra. I quote a scholar, a Buddhist scholar.Mert Flower, in his article, he said that the teaching that Buddha nature is the hidden essence within all sentient beings is the main message of the Tathagata Gabra literature, the earliest of which is the Tathagata Gabra Sutra, which we are going to discuss in these three lectures. 那第三类呢，就叫做如来藏系。那应顺导师呢，就把它分成是叫做真常唯心哈。那主要的呢的教义，就是在说呢，所有一切众生本具佛性。那最早出现的经典叫做《如来藏经》，也就是我们这次要要分享的这部经典哈。那我这边的。是引用一个西方学者在他的这个论文里面所解释的这个如来藏哈，那一切众生皆有佛性呢，是一个 主要哈在如来藏里面的一个论述，也是跟其他不太一样的一个重点哈。可能需要一个时钟给我一下。Okay, why this is a very this concept of Tathagata Gabbara is very important and unique for this school. There is a school. There is a story. There is a person called Angulimala, and translate is necklace of fingers. And what happened is at Buddha's age, there is a very handsome, tall, strong young man. He is very good at everything. And when he was born, the histories claim that thousands of soldiers suddenly all the knife dropped on the ground. So they think someone very special was born. Okay. And this young man, this is not his original name. This young man tried to learn a practice with some outer path master guru. And his guru has a very beautiful wife. And the wife fall in love with this young man. But this young man think that this is my teacher's wife. I cannot have an affair with her. And so the wife got very embarrassed. So he set up this young man and told his husband that, you know, the young man tried to take advantage of her. But this teacher was famous at that time. He cannot do anything to punish this young man. So he thought of a way to try to hurt this young man. Is he told this young man, if you kill 1,000 people and cut their finger and collect them 1,000 finger to me, you will achieve a great accomplishment, and all the people you kill will go to heaven. And he take this last order, and then he walk out, start to kill people, and every people he killed, he cut a finger and put the finger on his neck. So that's what he get his name called Necklace of Fingers. So he kill and kill people, try to scare. If people scare very much and try to tell everyone, don't go out because there is a guy who will kill people. But his mom, you know, his mom worry about that he might get hungry. So he tried to bring food to him. Unfortunately, his mom was thousands. In other words, he has already killed 999 people. And his mom will be the last one. He sort of hesitate, but he think that, don't worry, my mom will go to heaven if I kill her. So he tried to kill his mom, but the Buddha know, the Shakyamuni Buddha know that this is about time for him to show up. So he show up in front of the younger Limala, and the young man feels sort of happy because he can kill Buddha instead of his mom. So he tried to kill Buddha. So he is a very fast young man. He grabbed the knife, like the picture. He grabbed the knife, tried to chase the Buddha. Okay. 那我先要讲这个央觉摩罗的故事哈，在佛陀的时代，那有一个非常高大英俊又非常聪明的一个年轻人哈，那他出生的时候哈，全国几千个卫士那种武士哈，忽然之间的刀都堕落，都掉在地上，所以呢，同时掉在地上，这时候大家就想说有一个很重要的人要出生了，就是央觉摩罗。 那他本来的名字不叫央觉摩罗，因为央觉摩罗的意思，那个 mala 就是那个珠子，对不对？那央觉摩罗的意思就叫做那个手指头的项链。那为什么呢？话说这个年轻人长大以后拜了一个外道的大师来学习，那这个老师呢有一个很漂亮的太太，那个漂亮的太太呢暗恋这个年轻人，那有一天他就肆意想要找这个年轻人，结果这个年轻人就想说他是我的师母哦，不可以有非礼的行为，所以他就拒绝了他的师母。那他师母就非常的生气，然后就陷害他，然后本来就是故意好像要上吊这样。然后他的老师回来之后，看到他的太太居然要上吊，就问他说发生什么事情。然后他就说这个年轻人试着要非礼他。那这老师就很生气，可是因为有碍于他是一个很有名的老师，他不可以无缘无故的就是说去处罚这个年轻人，所以他就想了一招哈。他跟这个年轻人说，你的修行已经快接近完美了，你的最后一个功课呢就是你去杀1000个人，然后把1000个人的手指剁起来，把它串成一个项链来交给我，表示你杀了这1000个人，那你就成道了，这就是你最后的功课。好，那他因为也是一个蛮慈悲的人，他说我怎么可以杀1000个人呢？那老师说没有关系，因为你杀的这1000个人他们都会升天，因为你成道他们都会升天，所以他就被说服了，他去杀，那就忽然变成一个杀人的魔王，看到人就杀，看到人就杀。所以所有乡村的人都开始告诉大家说不要出门，不要出门，有一个杀人魔。好，所以他的名字就变成央觉摩罗。那他的妈妈呢，好，是中午时间到了时候，他的妈妈觉得说哎呀，我的儿子会不会肚子饿，带着午饭要去找他的儿子。结果他的妈妈正好是什么第1000个，他那时候已经杀了999个。当他看到他妈妈的时候呢，他有点犹豫，可是后来他想说没有关系，我杀了我的妈妈他会升天，所以他准备要杀了他的妈妈了。这时候佛陀，我们的释迦牟尼佛，他有神通，他知道说时间到了，所以他就出现在这个年轻人的面前。那这年轻人就觉得很高兴，说哎呀，我可以 我杀了这个沙门，不用杀我的妈妈了。于是他就拿着刀开始要去追我们的佛陀，准备杀他。 So he tried to chase the Buddha, and Buddha just very slowly walking meditation slowly walk, and the young man run fast, but for some reason he never catch Buddha. He keep running, running, running until he exhausted, and Buddha just walk very slowly. He never catch up. Then he starts to scream, why I cannot catch you, please stop, I need to kill you. The Buddha replied, I have already stopped, it's your wild mind that never stops. At this moment, this young man got awakened. He dropped the knife and kneeled down to the Buddha. He said, I'm wrong. I want to become a monastic. I want to follow you. 那这个年轻人就追佛陀，对不对？他是跑得很快的，那佛陀就漫不经心走在前面，他用全力冲啊，一直冲啊，就是追不上佛陀。佛陀还是漫步惊醒，他就一直过一直追，奇怪，他跑得满身大汗，最后已经精疲力竭，还是追不到佛陀。那他就开始叫了，他说沙门，你停下来，让我杀了你。 那佛陀就回他说，我早就停了，是你狂妄的心从来没有停过。当他听到这句话的时候，他悟了，然后他放下他的刀，跪在佛陀面前，请求佛陀宽恕，并想什么？追随佛陀，成为他的弟子。And Buddha take him as a disciple. He is a killer. He killed 999 people. But Buddha take him as a disciple. And back in India, if you are a monk, you don't have the law, the king's law did not apply to monk. If you do something against the law, you won't get punishment. So because the king, people stop, I've already tell king that there is a killer, young killer that killed many, many people. So king at that time already sent out a team of soldiers try to catch this young man. But once he become a monk, the king cannot kill him. So people start to argue, you know, this is unfair. 那佛陀收他为出家弟子之后呢，那在印度的时候的法令，那出家沙门是不用被处罚的，所以在那时候当这个杀人魔他杀了，开始疯狂杀人的时候，已经有人通报国王，那国王已经率了一支军队要去捕这个逮捕这个杀人魔，然后要给他就地正法。可是当他变成佛陀弟子的时候呢，国王就不能杀他。然后呢，大家就觉得说非常不公平，他是杀人魔，怎么可以收他为出家弟子呢？ So Buddha taught the young man a way, and then the young man attained arhathood, become arha, a saint. And then he taught the young man, you know, that you are not guilt by nature. Okay. And that's the core teaching of the Tathagatagarbha, that even though you are so-called Ichantika, the one you commit very serious crime, you kill your parents, you kill people, you deserve the karma, go to hell. Back in India at that time, you cannot be a monk and you will go to hell forever. But Buddha said, you can become a Buddha, and he attained arhatship. And one of the famous Ichantika is Devadatta, Buddha's cousin. He tried to kill Buddha. And Buddha still said in the Lotus Sutra that he, Devadatta, will become Buddha in Lotus Sutra. Okay. 那佛陀就教了这个年轻人一个方法，好，然后他就证了什么阿罗汉。然后他证阿罗汉的时候呢，他告诉世人说，每一个众生都有佛性，都可以成佛。好，那在印度的时候有一个一禅体，有没有？我们常常讲一禅体，杀父杀母杀阿罗汉，杀出佛身血，这一禅体是堕落地狱，永不得超生的。那包括很有名的什么提婆达多，那是佛陀的表堂兄弟，对不对？他一直想要杀佛陀，可是佛陀在法华经里面受记提婆达多未来成佛，将来成佛。所以从这个例子里面呢，这就是那个如来藏的一个中心思想，不管做什么事情，我们的佛性不变。Okay. And yet, you will question, what is the karma? you know, causes and conditions and consequence. What is the principle? Don't worry. The last half part, the last part of the younger Lama, Mala, he experienced people throw stone at him. He experienced a lot of body suffering. He got very sick. People throw things at him. He was starving. He experienced all kinds of body suffering because the karma that he killed 999 people. In other words, he cannot escape from his karma, but the karma can transform into certain way that he experienced bodily, he experienced the karma, but mentally he is free. 那大家就觉得说，什么太不公平吧？我们之前讲的什么因缘果啦、业力啊，都不管用了吗？都怎么会这个样子？杀人不用偿命吗？央觉摩罗的后半生啊，他是非常辛苦的哈。那个被打、被丢石头，好挨饿，他在他的身体上是经过很多的折磨。但是他因为证得了阿罗汉，他的心是自由的，所以他的业啊，他的重报哈，因为他证得阿罗汉果之后怎么样，轻受，他还是要受报的，只是他提前受报，而且这个受报可以藉由他的心力来消化，他不会痛苦，他承受那些磨难折磨，可是他不痛苦。So he experienced a lot of torture in his life till the end of his life, but his mind is free because he attained arhatship. So from the Buddhist principle, we know that we cannot escape from karma, but we can, you know, accept the karma much earlier, not our next life, and also the heavy karma can get lighter.But because your mind is free, your mind is not suffer, you can take the karma without vexation. 那这就是 this is the core teaching of the Tathagata Gabra. 那这就是我要提出来的，就是这个如来藏的一个核心的一个观念。So next, there are many sutras belongs to this school, and we call it Tathagata Gabra sutras. There are Tathagata Gabra sutra, Yangalimala sutra. Basically, talk about the story I just told earlier, and Mahayana Mahaparinibbana sutra.Queen Dasaramala Lion Roar Sutra, the teaching on non-decrease, non-increase Sutra, the Lankavatara Sutra, the Sutra of Continued Enlightenment, also the Sarangama Sutra, also belongs to this school. 那如来藏系列呢的经典呢有很多，那大家可能不见得都有听过或看过，我只是列了出来。那当然最早期的就是叫做如来藏经，然后刚刚讲的央觉摩罗经，那我刚刚讲的故事就是从这里出来的。那大波涅盘经有没有记得道生禅师吗？后来这部经印证了他的说法。那圣曼夫人经、不增不减经、楞伽经跟圆觉经，当然楞严经都是属于这个如来藏系的。那红色的部分是师父说，假设你对如来藏很有兴趣的话，红色的部分是要看的。那蓝色因为比较长，蓝色的有时间有兴趣可以建议看这样。 So 师父 suggest that you know if you are very interested in this school, the red one you have to read it, and the blue one is longer, much longer. If you have time, you can read it.And how about the sastra? 在 In the sutra, there are three very important ones. One, this I don't know how to pronounce it. And in Chinese, it's called the treasure nature. The second one is Buddha nature. And the third one is called awakening of faith in the Mahayana sutra. This is Sifu give a talk here at Chan Center. So Sifu very emphasize, think highly of this sutra. And for the three previous, the three red one and the sastra red one is called three sutra and one sastra in this school that people must read. 那在论述的部分呢，有宝性论跟佛性论哈。那这两部论是世亲菩萨所写的哈。那世亲菩萨他其实是为瑜伽论派系的很重要的一个大师。那另外一部论呢，就叫做大圣起信论。那这部论呢，师父非常的重视，也有在禅宗心讲过哈。假设你比较旧的信众的话，就大概有听师父讲过这部论哈。那前面的三部红色的哈，如来藏经，还有什么？胜曼经跟不增不减经哈，三经再加上宝性论，三经一论哈，是如来藏系必读的经论。OK, so the core concept of the Mahaparinirvana Sutra, it's very unique. It's called Eternal Buddha. So the Buddha never die. The Buddha always there. And this concept also brought up in Lotus Sutra by Buddha. And the second is all the sentient beings has Buddha nature. We call it intrinsic Buddha nature, the concept of intrinsic Buddha nature. And the third is called true self. And I will elaborate the true self later. 那涅槃经的一个中心思想呢，哈，我们刚刚讲到大波涅槃经，对不对？是一个很重要的事，在他的思想里面呢，就包含了这个如来藏系的一个中心思想呢，它有三个哈。第一个叫做如来常住，就是如来永不入灭了。在《法华经》里面哈，佛陀有提到这个佛性常住，永不入灭，哈，就是告诉我们说如来常住，它无来无去，它就是在那里。好，那第二个观念叫做一切众生悉有佛性。每个众生包括一禅体，所有的众生都有佛性。第三个呢，就是涅槃的常乐我净，主要的在讲真我。那我会在下一章呢来讲真我。I especially elaborate this true self is because we need to clarify something. We need to emphasize what is the core teaching of the Tathagata Gabra? Because we heard a lot from Abbot, right? No self. But now I'm telling you true self. So what is going on there? Here. Let me close the door. So when we hear different teachings, this is very important logic that you know what this Dharma talk, what this sutra, or what is this Buddhist principles belongs to, what the concept is trying to explain. We always talk about four upside down views or four erroneous views. For ordinary sentient beings, we are in the samsara, right? Why? We think that all the worldly phenomena are constant, permanent. We think that our body and mind is permanent. We think we have an ego or spirit that is permanent, so we attach, right? And we think that the the desire, the satisfaction of our six organs, desire, is happiness. That's why we chase, right? We like to eat good food. We like to wear what? Good clothes, you know, necklace, we make up, you know, everything's good, happy. So we chase, you know. So, and we think that there is a self. We think that our body and mind is our true self. And we think that our body and mind is pure. And Shifu tried to explain that we are not pure. Our body is actually very dirty. Right? Even our breath is dirty. Our environment everywhere is dirty. But we think it's pure. So when we practice for practitioner and Buddha's Four Noble Truths, Buddha tried to tell us, no, everything is impermanent. Nothing is permanent. Don't attach to it. And the life is actually suffering. You try to get what you want, you get it, and you are afraid to lose it, right? And you cannot get it, you suffer. You worry every day. Life is suffering. And there is no true self. There is no self. Your body is not you. Your mind is not you. And everything is impure. So we need to, what? Liberate from this impermanent suffering, no self and impurity. Yes? Oh. Then, if we really enter into the nirvana or become the Buddha, this is the Buddha's don't know how to say it. If we become a Buddha, it becomes permanent happiness, true self and purity again. So why it's four upside down views? Because we think that the impermanent is permanent. We think the suffering is happiness. We think that the body and mind is self. We think that everything is pure. This is four erroneous views. So we change it, right? We reverse it. Become impermanent, suffering, no self, and impurity. But if we attach to this concept, say non-permanent, non-happiness, non-self, and non-purity, it's also an erroneous view. It's also upside down, because in reality, ultimately, our Buddha nature is permanent. So we call it eternal Buddha, right? And there is a true happiness when we are at the Buddha nature. And there is a true self called Buddha nature. And everything is pure. And this concept, we reverse it again. So, you know, we don't attach to too extreme. And the true permanent happiness, true self purity, is the core teaching of the Tathagata Gabra. And that we will elaborate in the sutra that we are going to talk about. Any question? This is a very important. Okay, yes? Microphone.
The word suffering is a very sad word.
Yeah.
And I think, from my understanding over the years, it's really not exactly the translation into English of the word suffering is from dukkha, which dukkha isn't suffering to the extreme of that the word itself in English has the connotation or the meaning to most people. If you say suffering, you know, how are you doing at your job? I'm suffering. The idea would be that it's almost unbearable, as opposed to it's kind of unpleasant, you know. So this word suffering is one of the things that I've always liked about re-understanding the teachings, is that I had been suffering to a very extreme for many years, and I thought that's why Buddhism is so good for me, because it says life is suffering. And then I realized, as I was feeling happier, that the word suffering is not really a proper, correct, useful translation, because it's really not suffering life, and it's such a negative, has such a negative meaning to people, I think, that if you tell people, come on into Buddhism, you know, there's four noble truths, life is suffering, oh, you know. If you say, on the other hand, life is, by and large, many unpleasant things happen, you don't get what you want, you may not be suffering, like, immensely, but you're not, you know, you're uncomfortable, you know, it's unpleasant, you have a meeting at work, you know, it's unpleasant, you're not suffering, maybe you dread it, and that approaches suffering, but to say that life is suffering as one of the truths is, I think it's helpful if it's redefined what it actually is, which is dukkha, and not, which dukkha has a range of suffering, from light suffering, like you stub your toe, it's unpleasant, to like rip-roaring, horrendous suffering, but it's not all extreme suffering life. It's just, by and large, many things can be unpleasant.
Okay, let me translate. So Bob bring out that the translation of Chinese. Bob 试着要提出来哈，说我们讲四圣，讲这个苦的时候呢，我们通常翻译成 suffering， 它是一个非常负面的哈，非常负面的一个翻译。因为呢，他说他早期在学佛的时候，他听到讲苦，他非常高兴，因为他的生活很苦哈，有很多很非常痛苦的事情，所以他觉得哎，佛讲苦，对对对。可他后来呢，开始他变得比较快乐了。那我们还是讲苦啊苦，好，就变得很负面。那在梵语里面讲的苦其实叫做 dukkha， 好，那这个 dukkha 它只是说它不愉快，好 unpleasant， 并不是说很痛苦这样子哈。所以他认为说这个苦的这个翻译呢，需要重新再定义，然后才不会让大家就说，哎，大家来学佛，学佛就是要学苦啊。那就很日子过得很高兴，可是我们在生活之中还是有一些快乐的事情嘛，哈，不，真的不是那么苦嘛，哈。简短的翻译哈 ，OK， so good point， because I personally I think suffering is not that appropriate， and I saw the other translation called affliction， it also negative， yes。Microphone. So, better suggestion?
hi. suffering.
unpleasant.
we talk about this at great length in Dharma 101, so I've talked about it a lot. And I do agree that the translation of dukkha into English, which is most common, which is this word suffering. Remember, that's an English word. Did the Buddha speak English?
Is the microphone on? Oh. How come it's not?
Suffering. I think you have to hold it closer to your mouth.
Hello, suffering. Is that working? I can't even tell. All right. Suffering's an English word, isn't it? Yes. Did the Buddha speak English? No. Right? Okay. So what do we got here? We've got a translation issue, right? Did you ever try to translate something from one language to another? Well, those of you who have had the experience that it's not really possible to do it perfectly. Languages are not like that. Every language has some, words have some connotations, but not others. When you try to translate into another language, you always feel like you're not doing it perfectly, which is really true. That's just in the nature of language. So we have a little bit of a problem in Buddhism when we teach it in English, because the original languages were not English. So we always have to worry about translation a little bit. Now, yes, suffering is a very strong and harsh word. I remember way back when I was first looking at Buddhism, I had exactly the expression, the experience Bob was talking about. I read the Four Noble Truths, and the first one is, existence is suffering. That's what it was. And I went, yeah. And it turned me off in a way. You see, that's the problem. I think if you're trying to spread Buddhism in an English-speaking world, that translation is not good salesmanship. Do you understand what I'm saying? It just sounds so negative. And also, I mean, I sat back and I said to myself, wait a minute. I have fun sometimes, right? Life isn't always horrible. I mean, my life isn't horrible all the time, you know. Sometimes seems like I'm having fun. So that made me wonder what they were talking about, right? So the real thing is, I like the translation, ultimately unsatisfactory. Ultimately, we do, all inside of us, we have these spiritual yearnings. We're looking for something. We're looking for an answer to the basic problems of life, which are, you know, life and death and things like that. We all want an answer to that. What the Buddha is saying when he says existence is dukkha, what he's saying is this existence that we have out here in the ordinary reality is not going to give us what we're looking for. In this, what you know, this ultimate spiritual thing. It's not going to come from experiences that we pull in through our senses from the world. That's not where you will find it. Okay?
Okay. Okay, thank you, Bill.
We'd like to thank Bill for.
So, if you have time, Dhamma 101. But we have Dhamma 102. Talk about Heart Sutra. It's very good, too. If you're interested, you can sign up in the reception area. 那 Bill 呢，他在分享说他自己个人也觉得这个 suffering 是一个很尖刻的一个翻译哈。那曾经也让他觉得不刚开始学佛的时候不太能够接受，所以他建议了哈一个翻译叫做就近的不满意。究竟的不满足，不满意，因为呢，我们对于生命的一个最深层的问题，我们在想要探讨真实自我的时候呢，只要我们这个所有世间的一切现象都不会给我们真正的答案。假设我们想借由追求外在的东西来找到真正的真理的时候，你永远不没有办法满意。所以他建议说，我们的翻译应该改成。Ultimate unsatisfaction. This is echo to Shifu's teaching about content. 那我就说师父这个跟师父的所讲的什么知足啊是互相呼应的哈。师父为什么讲要知足，对不对？那 so I will talk about the content in the letter that shares Shifu's view of about content that sort of the other way to try to be not catched by the dukkha. So the way we can practice is to be content. 那我就未来的一个的分享里面，我会分享师父分享什么叫做真正的满足哈，知足，那就是为了要对治好我们的所谓的这个 dukkha， 就是这个所谓的究竟的不满意的这个部分。那我们要怎么样来练习知足好，然后不苦这样子好。OK，thank you for both sharing。那我们感谢他们两位的一个分享哈。OK，so what is the Tathagata Gabbra Sutra talk about？ The scholar Flowers say that this short sutra says that all living beings are in essence identical to the Buddha, regardless of their defilement.Or their continuing transmigration from life to life. So we will use 9 analogies to elaborate or to tell people that what our defilement is, what is the obstacle for us to see the Buddha nature. And Sifu in his book teach us.How can we practice in daily life so that we can gradually or during practice we can see our Buddha nature、okay. 那如来藏经里面呢主要的就是告诉我们说我们内在本质佛性不论我们有多少的染污多少的一个一辈子在一辈子里面产生了多少的这种染污跟习性呢我们都还是有佛性的哈。所以这个如来藏经里面用了九个比喻来告诉我们众生皆有佛性来告诉我们我们的染污是什么然后师父在书中里面也跟我们分享那在我们日常生活中我们要怎么样的去发现自己的一个染污然后呢让自己在就是成佛的过程中可以逐渐的去除那些执着跟烦恼好 OK Before I start I would like to emphasize Sifu's perspectives about this sutra 那在我要说这部分享这部经典之前呢我必须要强调一下师父对这部经的期许哈，自家宝藏。Because this, Shifu talk about the sutra is not, you know, going to focus on scholarly analysis or scholarly comparison or discussion. Basically, Shifu emphasizes this sutra has its meaning for all the practitioner and for his. View about how to build a pure land on earth 那师父呢讲这部经绝对不是要做学术的论考或是比较或是分析最主要是说师父从这部经里面得到什么样的启发他认为对于我们修行人的日常生活跟修行很重要那对于师父推动的法鼓山的理念有没有建立人间净土它到底有什么样有很大的意义所以我要在这边在师父的序里面有强调的东西我重新提出来跟大家分享、so that by knowing 师父's perspective we know that you know what we are going to learn from this sutra don't ask me about the comparisonof this concept with Yogacara or Middle Way because I cannot explain clearly to you because I'm not a historical expert on the Buddhist history so we have to get the point that Shifu wanted to teach us 那所以就是说请大家好不要问我说哎呀这个如来藏啊跟这个唯识啊跟这个中观啊有什么样的什么关系啊它到底是不是真的是假的哈那因为我不是佛教的历史学家哈我也讲不清楚啦那我们可能就是专注在师父要教我们的是什么的上面哈 The first when we interpretate Tathagatagarbhat profoundly, it points out the ultimate attainment, and expediently it helps ordinary beings generate faith and motivation to practice. So because Buddha nature, most of us cannot see it, right? Did not see it yet. So only thing we have to have is the faith and motivation. Okay, that's 师父's perspective. 那第一个呢, 师父的期许是, 对于如来藏的一个诠释里面呢, 我们在经文中, 接下去的经文里面呢, 我们都可以看到说, 师父深入的解释呢, 都是在指出, 我们 这个修行者最高的境界可以达到什么样子？那在初前来讲呢，解释这部经的动机是为了接引众生对于学佛产生信心跟动力。好，这是第一个师父对我们的期许。所以听部这个经以后，大家要相信说，我们真的每个人都有佛性，然后我们每个人都可以成佛。这个信心是在我们修行过程中一定要的。 可是，在经文那。 师父在经文里面的分享呢，也会这样的做一个深的跟浅的一个剖析。OK, second, mutual benefit. From the self-benefit, 师父 say that, 师父's word, it is where I get the most benefit from and the most useful for my teaching and well accepted by the audience. So, when 师父 read the sutra, he get the most benefit from the Tathagatagarbhat sutra, or its related sutra, and also Sifu used a lot in his teaching, and he found that the concept are well accepted for most audience that he taught. 那第二个呢是 是基于自利跟利他的角度来学习这部经典。 首先师父分享他自己自立的部分，师父说他在读大乐藏的过程中，他发现如来藏经，如来藏系列的经典对他的收获是最大的，然后在他教学的过程当中呢，他发现很多的观念非常的有用，而且呢，大部分的听众或是信众都可以接受这样的一个观念。 所以师父很鼓励我们去读这样的一个经典。The second is about benefit others. This sutra gives everyone hope to become Buddha. Sometimes we think that, you know, we have so much karma, we are so weak, we are buried by our wrongdoings from the past. We cannot overcome our habitual pattern. You know, sometimes we give up practice. 师父 say, we got to have hope. And also gives everyone self-confidence while practicing. No matter what we encountered, bring up the confidence and go forward. 那在利他方面呢，这部经典呢，就是说告诉我们说一切众生 都有成佛的希望，而且呢，我们在修行菩萨道中会遇到很多的困难，我们也会遇到自己非常重的习气，不能够overcome我们的这个习气，那我们遇到了很多的障碍，很多时候我们会放弃修行。那师父说，我们一定要有 身中有佛，心中有佛的这样的一个自信，虽然身心都是幻化的，虽然身心都不是真我，可是这里面有佛性。 And it makes all bodhisattvas who initiate the body mind accept that all sentient beings are Buddha to be and are willing to respect everyone. It's very important. How many people we don't like in this world? Do we think that they are Buddha to be? Do we really believe that they are Buddha to be? Okay. If we take the message from this sutra, we will respect everyone. 那师父说，如来藏的思想能够使一个发心想要修学的菩萨呢，愿意去接受一切众生都是现前菩萨未来的佛的这个观念，然后会让我们这些刚发心修行的菩萨呢，愿意去尊敬跟尊重每一个人。这个有一点难，对吧？ 我们这个世界上我们到底讨厌多少人？我们真的觉得他们是未来佛吗？我们愿意在他们做很不好的事情，对我们做很不好的事情的时候还尊敬他吗？ I remember in Lotus Sutra there is a Bodhisattva. His practice is very very simple. He basically bow and prostrate to everyone he encounter and say, you are the future Buddha. I respect you. 那在法华经里面有没有，有一个长布清菩萨，他的修行法门非常的简单，他就是每一个他遇到的人他都跟你恭敬礼拜，然后说你是未来的佛，我不敢轻视你。 No matter the person throw stone, kick him, you know, spit on him, prostrate and tell the people you are the future Buddha, I respect you. 所以不管好这些人是踢他打他或是吐痰给他，他都恭敬的礼拜，然后对那个对方讲说你是未来佛，我不敢轻忽你。 The most important one is this concept of Tathagata Gabbara will change our attitude toward our life. All people are Bodhisattvas. So all the people we encounter in our life, some help us, some hurt us, some maybe try to torture us. But Shifu say, if we accept the concept of Tathagata Gabbara, we will treat them as Bodhisattva. And we will treat our conditions as the manifestations of Bodhisattva try to teach us something. If we have this attitude, everything happened to us, we have different view to look at those things and events and people. So this is very important for Shifu's advocation to build a pure land on us. So the concept is very important. And based on this concept, Shifu has a strong belief that we can build a pure land on. We can uplift our character to what? To the Buddha nature. 那最后一个最重要的一个期许，师父对我们，我们必须将我们日常生活中所有的顺利因缘，带给我们顺利因缘的人，我们都要看他成什么？成菩萨。好，所有的苦难都是菩萨的现身说法，所以我们就很容易的去接受我们人一生中所遭遇的苦难，那把这个苦难好当成是成佛的因缘。好，那这样的一个人生态度，好，从如来藏的这个思想产生的这个人生态度呢，是师父对于推动人间净土的这个建设工程的信心。因为一切众生都是佛性，我们看一切人都是菩萨都是佛的话，这里不就是净土了吗？ 那师父说提升人的品质，对不对？人的品质可以无限的提升，一直提升，一直进化到什么？我们本来的面目叫做什么？佛性。OK， 好，那我把师父的期许讲完了哈。I finish 师父's perspective about this concept and sutra, and please keep in mind. And I'm going to start the sutra. 那请大家就是把这样的师父的期许呢，能够常常记在心里，然后带回家用。只要观念一改变，你的态度，你的境遇就会改变，至少苦难不会带给你什么痛苦嘛。好 ，OK， Oops， No， I skip this。OK， Tathagatagarbha Sutra， How we interpreted it？ 那我先讲一下这个经题，这个经题很简单，它自己其实叫做大方广如来藏经。 The real title for the sutra is called the great大方广怎么翻？The Great Unlimited Tathagatagarbha， OK， 那大方广或大方等呢？哈 ，So that means it's very very unlimited， and it's also equanimity， and Tathagata is the Buddha， Gabra is the store， the seed。Okay， 那大方广大方等，大方广就是无限广大嘛，什么都包。那大方等的是什么？平等，没有分别，就是大。然后呢，如来就是 Tathagata， 藏 Gabra 呢是藏嘛，里面 藏了我们的如来，或是它是种子，都是叫做藏。 So that meansOur Buddha nature is unlimited and no discrimination. Non-discrimination and non-duality. And this has the power to store everything. 就是说我们的如来，我们的本性呢是无限广大而且平等，然后它可以什么包藏万物的。哎呀，对不起。Okay. And the structure of the sutra. First part is prologue. It has two parts. One is initiative, you know, why it started. And the second part is Buddha's manifestation. 那第一个部分呢是序分。那这个序分里面有一个通序跟别序。那通序就是所有的经都一般都是这样开始的，就是说它怎么开始的，它包括人事地物，对不对？它是怎么开始的。那别序呢，就是对于这部经它特别的一个开始呢，是如来示现神变的一个开始。 So usually all the sutra contain these three parts: prologue, the content,and ending. And especially for this prologue, it has the initiative is called a general prologue, that for all the sutra, they all have the same format to start with. So it contains where, when, who, you know, how. But for this sutra, it has another unique start. It's Buddha's manifestation. 那一般的经都包括了序分、正中分跟流通分嘛，And the content of the sutra, in summary, all overall talk about one dharma and nine analogies. and the ending talk about the merits of this sutra and how we distribute this sutra. 那在正宗分里面，它的主要的一个教学就是一法九喻，九个比喻通通是在讲一个法，什么法？一切众生皆有佛性，然后流通分呢，就在讲这部经的功德，那要怎么样的流通，那这就是跟其他经是一样的。好，Sorry, I do not have space to translate in English. So the prologue for all the sutra, it contains that I heard, right? That means it's real. I copy exactly what I heard. Okay. 那刚开始一定是如是我闻，如是就是告诉大家你要相信我讲的，我就是如是，佛就是这样讲，我就是如是的 copy 讲出来，我不是自己解读的，就我听到的就是这样。好，所以一开头一定是如是我闻。 So the time is 10 years after Buddha attained the Buddhahood. 这个时间是在佛在菩提树下成道十年之后。 Okay, where somewhere in the where Buddha live and on the mount, you know, in the Dharma hall somewhere indoor, okay? 那地方呢，就是它是在讲堂里面哈，所以是在一个佛陀居住的城市的一个讲堂里面哈。So the speaker is Shakyamuni Buddha. 那讲的人呢，讲经的人是释迦牟尼佛。那 audience, it has thousands of great the big bhikshu means the bhikshu who has a great attainment, and also many uncountable bodhisattva, and they use the 60 rivers of the Yangtze saints. You know, like one Yangtze River, the Sen, you know, how many Sens they have, how many Bodhisattva we have, and six times of it. So many Bodhisattva. 60 times of the Sens of Yangtze River. And also the Dharma protector also come. Many. So this majorly, this sutra is teaching for Bodhisattva. 那听众是谁呢？大比丘众百千人聚，对不对？大比丘不是一般像我们这种比丘、比丘尼是我们这是小比丘尼大比丘、大比丘尼是有证悟的就是有修行高阶的，叫做大比丘尼大比丘众。那无量佛萨来的菩萨摩诃萨六十恒河沙，一个恒河里面的沙的那个数量数不尽了，对不对？还有六十个恒河沙的这么多的菩萨来听，然后他伴随来的天龙八部就护法神也通通来了。所以大家知道说这部经是主要讲给谁听？主要讲给菩萨听的，当然还有高阶的那个阿罗汉这种大比丘听的。 okay. The second prologue manifestation, what happened? So everyone enter into samadhi. Okay, so it's not like us in a disturbing mind. Everyone enter into samadhi. Every time Buddha want to have a mysterious performance, everyone need to enter samadhi. And they saw a lotus flower, so pure, so beautiful, come out to the sky. So beautiful. And suddenly, all the petals withered, dry out, and then collapse. And what happened? All the flowers open up, but suddenly wither, dry out. No flower anymore. And from the lotus seed, we see the Buddha. And the Buddha emit colorful light everywhere. You filled out the universe. So majestic, so unspeakable. Don't know how to explain it. 那如来神变呢？哈，我要不要重新来 perform 一下？哈，就是大家都已经进入三摩地哈，入定的状态哈。通常哈，佛要神变的时候，大部分听众都必须入定，才能够看到佛陀的比较高深的神变。上次圆觉经也是这样的哈，神变，然后就空中出现了莲花，好漂亮的花，好大，到处都是，整个虚空都是各种各颜色的漂亮的莲花出现，然后莲花盛开，好美啊！忽然之间，全部枯萎，变得很丑，全部枯萎很丑，之后花瓣全部凋谢了。然后呢，剩下那个莲花座，对不对？我们看到的每一尊每一个莲花座上都有一个如来，然后如来呢放光，放出千百颜色的光，充斥在整个宇宙，无限的光明，比刚刚的那个花哈更殊胜更美好。So, do you have question in mind? So now the audience have question. You know, what's the process all about? The flower is already majestic, you know, so beautiful, so colorful, fill out all the universe. And then why suddenly it dry up, collapse, and then even majestic, even more majestic, every lotus seed everywhere has a Buddha, a Tathagata, and the light filled up the whole universe. It's unspeakable, majestic, indescribable. Okay, indescribable. Thank you. 那大家看到这个 pro。这个电影一样的东西有没有什么疑问啊？想说为什么大家心中就有一个疑问，说哎啊，这个神变怎么会有这种过程哈？以前就是哇好殊胜哦就没了哈，怎么会好殊胜的莲花冲刺哈，好漂亮，到忽然干枯变得很丑恶，之后呢每一尊如来座有一个如来放的光是无法形容的庄严。 So Buddha know everyone's question, and he say, if you have question, you can bring up your question. 所以佛知道大家有很纳闷嘛，他就说如果你们有疑问的话呢，你们可以提出你的问题。 OK, So what is the question? Next time. Next time, we will know the question and we will start to elaborate the nine analogy. 所以下一次呢，我们要把这个问题到底是什么，然后九个比喻到底在说什么，来跟大家分享，就两次的 talk. Okay, thank you. Please, we need to transfer the merit. Okay. So Chinese first. 愿以此功德庄严佛净土，上报四重恩，下济三途苦， 若有见闻者，悉发菩提心，尽此一报身，同生极乐国。May the virtuous merits adorn and glorify the pure land of the Buddhas. Upwardly we repay the four layers of gratitude. Downwardly we alleviate the sufferings of the three destinies. May those who see and hear the Dharma generate Bodhi mind. Exhausting this body of retribution, may we be born in the land of supreme bliss. Thank you.
各位请起立， please rise.